Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So we'll stand up in reverence to the Word of God. This morning reading Psalm 96, verse 1. It says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name, proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of His praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness."
God, we're thankful today. Lord, we have every reason to sing. We have every reason to praise You. We thank You for breath in our lungs. We thank You for life. We thank You, God, that we get to be a part of a church. We thank You, Lord, that You're the reason why we're here this Sunday. And so, God, we thank You for Your gospel, which sets us free. And we're asking, God, that You'd come and speak to us, Lord, that we'd hear directly from You and not just the opinion of man, but God, as You're birthing things in this church, Lord, we pray that You'd build Your church, that the gates of hell will not prevail. And as we are Your church, we know the gates of hell will not prevail against us individually as well as corporately. I thank You, Lord, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I just sense, before I even get into this message, that some of you have been facing an onslaught of the enemy's pressure. The Lord wants to encourage you today that the enemy only pressurizes those who are pressing against what He is doing. For the weapons of our warfare are made mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. God is working on your behalf to pull down every stronghold that you've been facing throughout this week. God, I pray for these ones who have their hands lifted. Even before we get into this message, Lord, all over this room, there are hands up. And we thank You, Lord, that You go before us. You are fighting for us. You're not fighting against us. That's what the enemy would say, to try to accuse us that the favor of the Lord is not upon us. Father, I again proclaim what it says in Isaiah: no weapon formed against us shall prosper. There will be weapons formed, but they won't work. And so, Lord, I thank You that the enemy has to drop his weapons in sight of somebody who has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus and what You shed at Calvary. Thank You, Lord, for Your victory today in Jesus' name. Everyone shouted amen. Amen. So good to have you here with us this Sunday. My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. And again, like Martin said, I want to welcome those of you who are here for the first time. Can we give it up for those who are guests with us? I hope you feel at home here today. Don't worry, we won't point you out. But the title of my message is, we've been talking about this, going through this series about our call and our role in Christ and trying to discover what we're called to do as individuals. And then over the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the corporate call. How many of you enjoyed Pastor Ken Du's message last Sunday? Wasn't that dynamic? Wasn't that great? A great challenge for us to recognize that our individual destiny is inextricably linked to that which is corporate and what God is doing in the body of Christ. Now, understanding that we are called to walk together. And again, for those of you who are guests with us, and especially if you're a part of another church, we welcome you here. But there is an expression of God's body, or Christ's body, of which He has called you to be linked to. And so what we're going to discover here is a lot of what God is speaking specifically to this house And so for those of you who call this place home, hopefully this will help you to understand what we're about and what we're called to do. And for those of you who are visiting from other churches, my encouragement to you is to discover what it is your church is called to do as well and be a part of that. We know that we're not the only church here in Brisbane, but we're pretty secure in the lane that God has called us to run in. And we've got some exciting news and things happening today. So you came on the right Sunday. Turn to three people and tell them you came on the right Sunday. Let me tell you, every Sunday is the right Sunday. We're not going to be a statistical church like, on average, the average Australian that does attend church only attends once a month, not here. We're serious about coming together every week because we recognize the power of what God does in this hour and a half that we're together ignites us towards God's purposes. Think about it. You have 168 hours in your week. You know, how sad is it that the body of Christ struggles to give them just an hour and a half to come together and walk together? It's more than just this event, but it's the fact that God calls us together in community to walk together. And so the title of my message today is The Calling Out. The Calling Out. Speaking of being called out, we had a team that went to Europe, and most of them have returned. Most of them are still trying to find this time zone. Praise God. Lily, you did a great job leading that song. I know you're still trying to figure out that you're not on Greenwich Mean Time anymore. But we wanted to show you a highlight video. Now, this highlight video features two of some of the stops that they had. This video will feature some of the work, and you're going to hear from many of you have met our new pastors that are starting the church in Leiden in the Netherlands, of which this team has gone to be a part of starting the campus ministry. And then they ran a women's conference with our churches in London. So we've already featured last week a little thank you from some of the ladies in London. But wanted to show you this highlight video and just what you're a part of if you call this place home. This is us.
This weekend has been amazing. I had small expectations of what was going to happen this weekend, and God just came in with a poof.
This weekend has been amazing. I don't have any words to really describe what has happened to me.
And I went, and it was just a all different story now, because I feel light, I feel free, I feel like God has actually lifted something very heavy I think I've been carrying, and I think it can never be lifted away from me. It's actually taking it away from me.
Hello to our beautiful family in Every Nation Brisbane. I'm here in beautiful Leiden, where I'm already missing the team. But over the last 2 weeks, God has really shown himself strong in the city. And it was the first time that we really did any outreach here in Leiden. But God has already begun to show us glimpses of what he's doing in the lives of the people in this city. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for partnering with us in that. I know that not everybody could be here, but we really do recognize and we appreciate all of the sacrifices that were made, whether it be financially, time-wise, or even in your prayer life. I hope you will always know that we feel your love and we feel your support all the way here in Europe. Our city, our nation, and our continent will never be the same again because of what you have allowed God to do in and through you guys.
I'm not going to add too much on to what Katrina said because she said it so well, but from me to you, thank you so much. Thank you for sending your team. Thank you for blessing us with them. Thank you for all of the prayers that you guys prayed. Thank you for the finances that you gave to enable your team to come, for the time that you poured into them, for everything that you guys have done to enable the team to serve us as a family, to serve Leiden as a community, and Leiden University as a university, and just be such a blessing to the rest of the world. You guys are an amazing sending church. You have an amazing gift of missions. You guys just have such a heart to give, a heart to bless, and a heart to serve the nations. So the bottom of my heart to you, thank you. We look forward to seeing you guys either in Brisbane or more of you guys here and doing incredible things on the other side of the world. We love you and we thank you. Bye.
So I want to say thank you to the Brisbane team because their prayer and their encouragement and their support has just been huge.
This conference has really lifted me up, and I just want to thank God for everything. And thank God for the team. Thank God for everybody who came together, all the ladies, the Brisbane team. Just thank you.
And they came and they gave what the Lord had given them to give. And now a fire has been lit within me.
Love you so much. I cannot believe I now have family in Brisbane till we meet again, by God's grace.
That's your spiritual family in Netherlands and England. Give God praise. Come on. Isn't God awesome? I want everybody who was, I know that not everybody is here, but everybody that was a part of that team, can you just stand to your feet if you're here? Lily, all right. Give them a hand, everybody. I just want to thank you on behalf of our church for representing us in Europe. And obviously for those who are still making their way back, whether they're here or not here, in terms of jet lag, we pray that as you've sown so selflessly into the nations of Europe, where the Reformation started, that God is actually going to bless you 100-fold. So thank you so much. And thanks to everybody who sowed into these ones, whether you bought some form of edible goods or you sowed financially into these ones and you prayed for them. Really want to honor you and thank you so much for sending them. And this, look guys, this is not going to be the last time we're in Europe. The way we do short-term missions here in this church is it's out of an ongoing relationship. And so we will constantly send teams to Europe. It's been prophesied over this church, starting with the Netherlands. And so we really believe that God has an inheritance for this church in Europe. As a Samoan, I recognize the significance, and just alluded to it in a quick conversation I had with Lily and Edwina, but we're talking about how Christianity actually was solidified in Samoa through the London Missionary Society. So the significance of them being in London and being able to invest in the land that brought us the gospel is powerfully significant. So we're really looking for, because some of you might be thinking, what does Brisbane have to do with Europe? A lot. We won't get into it right now, but we know that that's a lot of the inheritance that God has for us. But I want you to say this with me. We're better together. God hasn't created you to isolate yourself or to be on your own with your Christianity. Yes, you are an individual made in the image of God, beautifully and fearfully, wonderfully made. But he has created you to be a part of the body of Christ. And so there is a local expression of that here in the church, here in Every Nation Brisbane. This is a local expression of that. But here at this local expression, we recognize that God has called us out. Have you noticed that the word in the Greek for church, for the word church, is the word ekklesia. Everybody say ekklesia. For the Samoans in this word, you'll recognize this word, right? Ekklesia. But in English, what it means, ekklesia, it says it is a compound of two segments. There's ek. Anytime you see the prefix ek, it means out or out of, right? And then the verb kaleo, which means to call. So together, literally, the ekklesia means to call out. That was the intention of why God has had his church. Although the usage soon passed away and was replaced with assembly, congregation, council, or convocation, the intention of ekklesia was always to be called out. And so what we see in the book of Acts, and which is modeled throughout history, as the accurate biblical picture of what the church should look like, is the gathering of the believers and then the scattering of the believers. But how many of you know, there is a tendency, if we are not propelled by the Holy Spirit, to gather and become insular, or to be scattered and become isolated? You need both. So we are called to gather. What does it mean when we gather? We gather firstly, and we'll celebrate this today. We gather around the Lord's table in communion. The word communion means to meet, right? It's not just the partaking of the bread and the cup, but it's the fact that we get to commune because of the symbols of what happened with the bread and the cup, the empowerment by the Holy Spirit for Jesus to take on the cross. We also gather not as an event or a subculture. So this isn't like my little side hustle of the rest of my life. Like I said, I've got 168 hours in a week. Did you notice that? Every single, the great equalizer, right? You may not have as much money as the person next to you. Shout them lunch then. But what I am saying is like the great equalizer is we have the same amount of time. Every single one of us has 168 hours in the week. But it's how we utilize that to bring honor to God. So it's not like a subculture, but it's a new people on God's mission. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we are all a new people. We're not called to, like, subjugate ourselves from society. We're called to be the light in society. And also, we gather to be equipped to serve the Lord and see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is God's intention for us. But you'll notice, like, that's the purpose behind the gathering. What about the scattering? Well, we gather again around the Lord's table. How many of you like to eat? Yeah, I believe in that full gospel. Hallelujah. But the reason why we scatter also is to eat together, to fellowship together around the Lord's table. We may not partake in communion the way we will partake in it in just a moment, but the whole point of communing together around God. We also scatter, again, not just as a subculture, but to be able to be dispersed into culture, to affect change in the culture, to see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And then we're to be equipped to serve the Lord and see his kingdom come down on earth. So the values behind this house and how we see it operate. For those of you who, again, have been a part of this church for a while, but you may not have understood, what are the values? What are the core values of this church? And we'll bring them up each time. But I want you to highlight these things. If you're a part of this church, man, write these things down because this is really important. And I think they're embodied in the passage that Martin so eloquently read earlier. So the first value that we have is worship. Now, I'm not just talking about the way that Charles and Lily and Sam and Joe lead us in singing. It's not worship in that sense, but worship, according to Romans 12, verse 1, means to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God. This is your spiritual worship, meaning that my life belongs to God. He's Lord of my life. So our response to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is a lifestyle of worship. In that passage that Martin read, it says, worship the Lord. Everybody say, worship the Lord. In the splendor of his holiness, tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Turn to somebody and tell them, you were created to be glad. Make sure that they're smiling, okay? Just Colgate, whatever they used, Listerine. Just let the earth be glad. Even if the breath is sad, let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Look, you were born to glorify God. That's the reason why you were born. And you must understand that every single person on this planet is a worshiper. It's just a matter of what they worship. So if you worship anything else, you will constantly be on this journey towards fulfillment, but you can only find that fulfillment, the Hebrew word shalom, that sense of wholeness, when you are completely encapsulated in this sort of praise and worship, this gladness that God brings. I'm not talking about happiness, which is dependent on happenings. What I'm talking about is gladness, this resonant steadfastness that no matter what life brings, I have a Lord who has made me glad. That is worship. That's what worship is. It's not faking it. But it's knowing that nothing can shake me. I'm unshakable. Some of y'all looking at me like, yeah, I'm glad you're not shakable. Please don't shake. Let the fields be jubilant. Look, if you don't praise them, the fields are going to praise them. If you don't praise them, the rocks are going to cry out. And everything in them, let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. That's on some Frozen 2 type level stuff, man. Ah. Second value of this house is outreach, okay? We don't just worship God and then stay in our holy huddles and worship God and soak. Let's just soak in the presence of God until we get wrinkly like an old person and just like a bathtub of Jesus. Let's just soak in him. And then go out and be totally ineffectual in society. Let me tell you something. If you're really worshiping God, if you're really in the presence of God, his presence propels you out because just like gossip, right? For my Tagalog-speaking people, chismis, right? like you can't help it because the news is so good. That's why the gospel is called the good news. You just can't help it. You know, you have to talk about it. Exclusivo. Like you have to talk about the stuff that's gone on inside you. And if the gospel has really impacted you, you can't help but talk about it. And so the wonder is, like, am I really in this position of worshiping God? Because if he's really impacted me, it's just got to flow out. It's just got to come out. And so the way we see outreach manifest is what you've seen in our team that went to London and Leiden. But that's the problem too, is that we often think that short-term missions are going to scratch that missional itch in us. When the person next door to us in the cubicle that's seated next to us does not know Jesus, that's just as much missions as going down to travel center or flight center and booking yourself a ticket to an exotic location and reaching the locals as long as you get that Instagram shot. Both are missions. But missions is encapsulated by us understanding it's not about us. I'm on a mission to see this person won by the love of Jesus. It's embodied in evangelism. And a lot of us that grow up around church, we think, oh, evangelism, that has such a strong connotation. Does that mean I have to carry a picket and a bullhorn and go down to Queen Street and stand on the corner there and say, turn or burn, repent or get sent? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm all about going out into the streets and telling people about Jesus, but not judging them, but in a way that conveys the gospel. Oh, but I'm not that sort of person. I don't have that boldness. I have boldness, but not boldness. I don't have that boldness to tell people about Jesus that way. Try being a friend. Just try being a friend. They're not one. I hope you see this. Like Tim Keller puts it best. Most people, when they receive the gospel, they are not won by argument. You can take all the things we learned in apologetics last week that Pastor Ken Du taught us. But if your whole posture is argumentative, you'll never win that person's soul to Christ. It's humility, right? So they're not won by argument. They're not even won by my ability to preach. What wins a person to Christ is love. 1 Corinthians 13, I can speak in the tongues of angels, but if I have not love, I'm nothing but a noisy gong. My heart is as a preacher, that you're sitting there not hearing gong, gong, but that you're in a house full of the love of Jesus. And this love is so good. It's better than anything that Casey and JoJo could ever sing about. Brian McKnight. The love that Christ has given us is so earth-shattering, you can't help but chismis about it. Diba? Oh, my Filipinos are like, why do you have to use our language? Now I'm convicted. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Okay? Not just on Sunday. Because it's easy to proclaim his salvation on Sunday because you're around. This is like a lighting store. There's a whole bunch of lights here. But light was made best to operate in darkness. So my question is then, if we're not shining our light in darkness and expecting somebody else to come along and fill our oil so that we can continue to burn. And my question is, well, then what really is filling you? What are you really worshiping, right? Salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. The third value we have in this house is discipleship. Discipleship, the relationship with God. Pastor Joey Bonifacio, one of the leaders of this movement, describes discipleship in his book, Lego Principle. Discipleship is relationship. I'll take it a step further. Discipleship is a relationship growing towards Jesus. I can have relationships, but some of them aren't pointed towards Jesus. Some of them are to fulfill me, to be honest, if I'm not centered around Christ. So I relate to a famous person so that I can take a photo with them so that people can see, this is why I'm hot. Think about it. We like to base our reputation around the relationships that we keep. Dale Carnegie said it this way, right? Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. The five people you spend the most time with usually dictate what your life's going to look like. In discipleship, Christ is the purpose, not career advancement, not position on social media, not fame or fortune. Christ is the object. So my question, therefore, further goes, is not just the relationships that would further posture you in order to for you to advance in whatever the agenda is for your own heart, But how can you advance in what the King of the Kingdom has called you to be a part of this body, to be a part of the called out ones? And that's what discipleship looks like. It looks like doing life in small groups, walking together in life, not just going through a Bible study, although that's a huge part of it, but doing relationship together and life together with people that do know Jesus. Well, I don't really like hanging out with church people, Pastor Nelly. I like hanging out with my lost friends. Have you told them about Jesus? How long have you known them? Oh, about 2 years. Have you opened your mouth to tell them about your faith? Well, not really. I'm afraid of what they might think. Then who's evangelizing who? Who's reaching who? Because you're, you know, especially when you post up Instagram shots of yourself with them, posturing yourself that, man, look, I'm reaching out. Who's really reaching who? Is that Instagram post up there so that people can see you being active when they've never heard about your faith, when they've never heard how much you love Jesus? Be careful, because there is a subtle difference. Understand this. Discipleship is a journey. Evangelism is a journey. They run concurrently together. It's out of relationship we build. God is calling us to build relationships with people so that they grow towards Jesus, not towards your reputation. I love you guys so much. I hope you don't mind me telling you the truth this morning. But it's just good for us to reflect, right? It's good for us to reflect as to the motives as to why we build these relationships. Even in church. Oh, you know what? He's hot. He's got a car. He paid cash for it. I think he's saved. So I think I'll, you know, just, I feel led. Led by what? Huh? Led by a Bollywood movie? What? Led by, like, you want to get your Bollywood interlude on? Like, what are you led by? Be honest. But even within church community, we can build relationships for our own agenda. I recognize the subtlety of it as a pastor, because as a church, we have needs. There's certain areas. And so there's always the voice of the enemy. Oh, he could be a good youth pastor. So I should build a relationship with him for my own advancement on my agenda. How many of you know God is building his church? He doesn't need me. He doesn't need me. He'll build his church. Well, Pastor Nelly, you don't have the right people in the right places. God's going to do it. God's going to build it. As long as I'm faithful to love those who are around me, even if they're not like me, even if they don't like me, God is going to establish his church. But they keep betraying you. They keep turning on you. Well, I'm in good company because I worship a Jesus who went to the cross by himself, full of guys. Yeah, we're going to be there till the end. Came to the cross. Surrounded not by disciples, but two thieves. I'm in good company. You're in good company. If you've ever been betrayed in your life, don't put your hand up, but how many of you have been betrayed? Just do me like a little finger. You're in good company. Jesus never said, you'll never be betrayed. But Jesus did say, I will never leave you or forsake you. Right? Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Peoples that don't look like you, don't act like you. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all gods of the nations are idols. Don't build your relationships around idols. Build them towards the Lord who made the heavens. Then the last value of our church is family. So we've got worship, outreach, which is evangelism, which is missions, which is compassion, discipleship, growing in relationship towards Jesus. This is done in life groups. This is done in relationship with one another, texting one another. How are you doing? How can I help you grow? Studying the word together, worshiping together, and then family. If there's any value of these four values that Australian society is looking for right now prophetically, it is an activated spiritual family, community. As individualistic as this society has become in urban Australia, I'm here to tell you today that it's really a cry for belonging. And most of the time, statistically in Australia, people will believe only after they belong. But it's a matter of us being activated to help people on their journey to belong to family. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord the glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. So here we are. This is where we are in Brisbane right now. And what we want to see in everything that we do, not just our Sunday services, but we want to see worship, We want to see people activated to outreach and discipleship, and we want to see people belong or get a sense of belonging to spiritual family. And like I said at the top, this may not be your spiritual family if you're visiting from another church, but I urge you to find family. Find where God is joining you to be an active part of that family. If you're looking at the perspective of the church from a consumerist view, you'll only be disappointed. Because there is no perfect church. There's a perfect church for you, though. And this is what we're about. Worship, outreach, discipleship. We're going to disciple Brisbane and family. We place emphasis on marriages and on singlehood, whatever season you're in. We want to see strong marriages and strong singles and young professionals and strong youth. Whatever phase of family you are a part of, strong relationships are important. We will not sacrifice our families on the altar of ministry. This is where we're at right now. But what we want to see as a family, and this is the announcement that we have to make, and many, it's the worst kept announcement, worst kept secret. It's all right. Many of you are like, yeah, I heard it like 5 months ago. But our heart is to have these sorts of communities all over our city. Look up at me real quick. We're not trying to build a massive church in one location. But we want to make accessible these environments for worship, outreach, discipleship, and family all over the city. And it's important for it to feel like family. How many of you know when you grow beyond a critical mass, it's a lot harder to sense that family feel. So I'm blessed to announce to you today that next year we will be launching Every Nation Logan. To the glory of Jesus Christ, He's building His church. This is what you're a part of. Whether you remain here at Every Nation Brisbane Central, which will be the new name of this church location, or whether you come with us on a mission to Logan, it's all a part of us being missional. So I'm going to just show you a little bit of the heart of Every Nation Logan. How many of you are excited about this?
Revelation 7:9 says, "After I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands." We are part of this multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language that will stand before the throne and the Lamb to worship our Lord and King. So until we accord to come together on that day, we are to be about our Father's business of the Great Commission.
The Council of Logan, this great city that we're in, nestled between the Gold Coast in the south and Brisbane Central in the north, is such a great place of vibrancy and intercultural activity. But with it comes the presentation of definite challenges. We've seen the escalation of suicide rates because of the level of hopelessness here. With a lack of vision, people cast off restraint. With a lack of knowledge, people perish. And so our heart is to see Logan fulfill its destiny and bring it to life, life that can start here and emerge into the nations. After much prayer over the years and prophetic direction from our apostolic leaders, and then seeing the activity that's happening in the community here in Logan, whether it's through Silverbacks and the fitness programs that they're running and other activities that they're doing in the community, or whether it's with My Story 61 running their programs in the high schools, their creative arts programs, or whether it's in the prisons, seeing the people within the prisons coming to know Christ and developing as leaders, and then coming out into the community, integrating into society as disciples of Christ, we are seeing God glorified throughout the community. And we know it's only right, with regards to the timing of this, that we see Every Nation Logan established in the name of Jesus.
It is beautifully represented by more than 200 cultures, and its youth is represented by around 50% of the population that is 30 years old and under. This youthfulness provides an energy and enthusiasm for thriving commercial, retail, and manufacturing precincts.
Now, the question that many of you might have is, does Logan really need another church? And you're right, there are plenty of great churches here in Logan. But what Logan does need is the life that can only be found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, found in His finished work at the cross.
Matthew 28, 19 to 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age."
We are purposefully called Every Nation Logan. Our heart is to definitely see every nation represented in this city come to know Christ and become disciples of Christ. But not only every nation in Logan, but Logan would reach every nation in the world. We really believe that God has the destiny of nations in this city, and we are excited about what God is going to develop, grow, and thrust from this place into the world. God bless you.
Go ahead and give God praise, everybody. So, just to give you, I know some of you might have a lot of questions regarding all of this. We are going to be starting our preview services from January the 26th with the full launch of Every Nation Logan on April the 26th. So if you are interested and you live around the Logan or that sort of area, whether it's the GC or Ipswich, and you pray about it. Like, some of you might live in those areas and still feel called here. That's fine. Some of you might live here and feel called to Logan. That's fine too. We want to be positioned where God wants us to be in order to be missionally effective. And so if you do have any questions, Henry, can you stand to your feet real quick just so everyone knows who this beautiful man is that I'm talking about? Right here, Henry, okay? If you have any questions, you can talk to myself or Henry after this. But we do have, we have upcoming meetings. We've been meeting and planning this since January, February this year. And so it's definitely been something that we've been soaking on. And, you know, we're really, really thankful for the team that are going to be a part of that launch. But just for you to see the wider perspective, because some of you might even think, okay, that's great, you're going to plant in Logan, but where? What about everywhere else? Well, we've got one more video to show you. This is a Sunday full of videos. The reason why it's called the Coast to Coast Initiative is we want to see an Every Nation church, at least one. Because I'm believing that there, really, even within Brisbane Central, there's a potential for five communities like this as we continue to grow and love people into the kingdom. In every single borough council, from Sunshine Coast to Gold Coast, representing Christ and these sorts of communities that value, that have the same values throughout Brisbane. That's what we're building. That's what God's calling us to build. And that's just in the city. That's not counting the nations of the Netherlands and Samoa, of which we are building right now. Like, we have constant missional activity that is going to continue to happen. We're called to the nations, guys. And so many Australian churches would look at a church our size, right, but still below 200. And think, well, that's, shouldn't you think about missions later on? No, if you don't integrate it within the DNA of your church right from the start, what ends up happening is you, again, form a consumerist, insular, not called out community. We as a church are constantly called out. And so here's the thought, guys. From whom the body, the whole body, joined and held together. This is from Ephesians 4. By every joint, say every joint. Turn to somebody and tell them, you're a part of the joint. Which is equipped when each part is working properly. Every part of our body should be working properly. Makes the body grow. So we're only going to grow if we're all activated. Because again, Australian society or Australian view of church would be that guy up the front with the black shirt and the glasses, he's going to do all the holy work. And the rest of us would just come and get our ears tickled by what is being preached up the front. This is not an ear-tickling sermon. I hope you've figured that out by now. This is an activation sermon. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So how do you play your part? How do you play your part in being an active part of the body? Discipleship. Get discipled. Get somebody. Get people in your life to pour into you. There's three levels of discipleship relationship, right? Firstly, you have mentors that pour into your life. Secondly, you have peers that walk alongside you and you walk alongside doing life together. And then thirdly, you have people that you pour your life into. And the best environments to do that is in our life groups. And again, if you're interested in the life groups that we have, please do come and talk to us. Come and talk to us at guest services. For life group leaders, we've got our meeting right after this, we get done here.
And so discipleship is so important because this is the context of which God calls us to relate. It's not about isolating ourselves and just getting without pouring out as well. Secondly, it's also in serving. There are plenty of opportunities, whether it's within thinking about opportunities to serve. Some of you may have had your ears activated and you're like, man, I want to be a part of Ian Logan. I want to serve. How many of you know that when we send a team to Logan, we've got a lot of needs right here? Like I think about our worship team, the team that I spend the most time, the volunteer team that I spend the most time with. Like literally half of our team is going to go to Logan. And so it's funny because most of our frontline, our singers are from Logan. And most of our band are from here. So if you keep coming here, you're going to have instrumentalists. It's going to be instrumentals. Unless we raise up Team Logan. And then down on the south, it'll be a cappella. Unless Charles brings his guitar. So we're going to need people to rise up. Okay, be careful. Make sure you're skilled. All right, let me just throw that in there. None of this, I feel led by the Lord. And sing in the key of H. No. Don't even come, all right? Serve somewhere else. There's plenty of places to serve, all right? I'm a triangle player for Jesus, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Like, no. Just stay in your lane. Find a lane, run. But we need help in kids' church. If you have a heart and a passion and definitely a blue card, you should definitely consider serving in kids' church. You know, we've got Steph who's going to be, you know, Steph's done a great job discipling and leading the guest services here. And has raised David and Dory, who are taking over the guest services here. She's going to be leading guest services out there. And we need to build a team around her. So there's plenty of opportunities to serve. We're not customers. We're a part, an active part of the body. And then the last one, which people don't get excited about, is giving. Because this isn't free. I hope you notice that, like, renting this building to be able to serve you and provide this environment is not free. Can you imagine, like, going to a restaurant and eating food, and then somebody gives you the bill, and then you're like, well, I don't feel led. You will feel the lead of prison bars. Do you understand me? Yet the food that we dish here, and as your pastor, I want to make sure that the food that we deliver here is not like popcorn and fluff. We want to deliver you the meat of the word. Finer than the greatest filet mignon in Brisbane. We want to give you that sort of meat. But it costs for us to create these environments. And not just this environment, not just where we're going to meet in Crestmead out in Logan, but creating these environments all over the city, equipping it, it all takes finances. And so this is what's important. Just think about those three things: discipleship, serving, and giving. That's how we play our part. And again, if you're from another church and you're visiting with us today, my encouragement to you is do those three things in your church. That's how we play our active part in the body. I want you to get in groups of two or three and just mull over this question, which is probably the realest question we've had so far. It says, are you carrying your weight as an active part of the body of Christ, or do you expect the body of Christ to carry you? I love you. You don't have to answer this question with everybody else unless you want to. But it's something for us to mull over. When we look at Scripture, look at the way that God is building His church. It's a very real question for us to ponder over.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.